Mike, and the Hot.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. And like Olivia Newton-John said once upon a time, let's get accurate. Accurate. It's time to get accurate. 100% accurate. Yeah. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also, Mike, for our 100% accurate, way too early Oscars predictions for Oscars 2024-25, Michael.
This is an annual tradition. This is tried and true, proven. We're 100% accurate in May. / late April,
yep.
The year before the Academy Awards, or the year of.
The further away from the awards we are, the closer to perfection we get. The closer to the awards we get, the farther we stray from the light of God.
Yeah, and we've been doing better lately with our Oscar predictions, you know, leading up to the ceremony. I was proud of us this past year. That was a better year for us after sinking to our lowest point. after our highest point. I mean, it's almost like a movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
the ebb and flow. You went 20 for 20 in non-short categories. What was that, 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Right, 2 years ago. And then 14 out of 23 and just a laugher. It's all over but the shouting. But no, we redeemed ourselves somewhat this past year. Respectable showing. And I don't know what that means for the next year, but I do know it doesn't affect anything for this episode. We're just right. We know we have the power.
Burdened with these powers, it is our greatest strength and our heaviest burden as well. Look, we don't. This isn't what we think will happen. This is what's going to happen on Oscars Sunday, and we are just the medium through which we parlay this information to you. So we're going to go through the major categories, and of those big six or seven, we will give you every nominee, which will take place. Are we going to pick winners, Mike? Do we tell the people who won?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
we're going to do that as well. All right. And to start off the episode, we're not going to go through every category, but we will tell you some craft convictions, which is going to turn into us saying that we're not going to give you every nominee for every category, but we are going to end up giving you most nominees for most categories because, we're burdened with this information and we need to release it.
If you see it in the crystal ball, you have to say what you see, right?
Right.
If you're a radio, if you're a podcast, if you're on the airwaves, like, what are you not going to? Okay, so... So look, I think I have a premonition about documentary feature this year, which
as you should. This is probably the only category which like people should take seriously when we say that we're so serious, we're 100% accurate. Because if you haven't listened to us before, Mike does go crazy in the doc feature category as well as international feature.
And yeah, it's the kookiest category there is to predict.
Exercise in futility.
There were such strong docs this year at the Sundance Film Festival. Will and Harper was probably the one that got the most buzz in terms of a movie that Netflix picked up that I think is going to be a player later in the year. That seems like not only a feel-good, but it has the narrative for trans rights and understanding that I think is going to be packaged in a very meaningful and accessible way with Will Ferrell.
A-list Hollywood name attached as well. Easy accessibility on Netflix. Yeah,
that could go. But I do have a strong feeling for two documentaries that I did see in Porcelain War, which is about the Ukraine war on the ground there through the eyes of these artists painting these sculptures and leaving them like Pokemon throughout the Ukrainian forest and the rubble. Could not get over how well made this movie is. These are artistes with an E and an apostrophe, whatever that
is
little...
A tilde? It can't be a tilde because it's not Spanish, right?
Well, it's a gorgeous little dash above the letter. I'm not as smart enough to know what it's called. But Porcelain War is a beautiful movie. The filmmaking is extraordinary. That should get nominated. I would be shocked if the documentary feature branch did not go for Porcelain War. I would also be shocked if they did not go for Daughters. Daughters is a unique story about a father-daughter dance between kids and their imprisoned fathers. And it was heart-wrenching. It was also unique in terms of its journalistic endeavors because it was about the it was from the kids' perspectives, and that was just next level documentary filmmaking, in my opinion, to get these kids to really articulate themselves the way they did. It was beautiful. So yeah,
that's where, I mean, Doc Feature, we know, we talk about all the time, as much as they do screw up when it comes to like letting the front runner of the category all year into the Oscars show, they do have a tendency to at least shine the light on important issues and relevant issues and of the moment issues. So that would seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, those three are tailor-made, in my opinion. We can move on to visual effects. I think we both have two films, Blitz and Dune Part 2, that we agree upon.
Right, and this is going to happen, so there's going to be categories in which we give you inevitably more than five nominees. Now, I have, Mike, it's our responsibility as men with these powers to make sure that people understand that we are just the conduit. We are nothing more than a vessel through which this information is given.
These are prophecies. They're all true, and yet we're going to speak a lot of bullshit, right? We're going to talk about Beetlejuice, and then the other guy's not. No, I think, you know.
Going to say Dune Part 2 a lot this episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dune Part 2 and Blitz, we both have in VFX.
Yes.
I have Beetlejuice, Gladiator 2, and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which Matt Neglia just came out, you know, gushing over the VFX last night. So that made me feel good about that pick. So those are my five. You have a different, at least, you have different three to add.
Yeah, I don't know that I worried about going with a clean five on the craft convictions. I just did, again, what came to me in the middle of the night when I was visited by three spirits. I did Twisters for VFX just on the basis of, it's going to be a blockbuster. It's going to make a lot of money. Trailer looks good. And the first Twister movie was nominated in that category. Wicked, I don't know. Wicked could be Cats. Wicked could be not Cats. I could see it being nominated in some category, so I picked VFX for it. I hope Alien Romulus lives up to the legacy of the Alien franchise, at least the first two movies. Alien won the category back in 1979 for VFX. And the preview gave me a lot of hope that this is going to be a throwback or callback to those origin roots. So I hope Alien Romulus gets consideration in this category.
I hope so, too. I can root for that with you. I think Wicked's going to be Cats, but that's just me.
We'll move on
to Best Sound. We both have four of the five. So Blitz, yeah. A Quiet Place, Day One, Furiosa, and Dune Part Two for Best Sound Design. I have Joker 2, and you have Twisters.
Staying with Twisters, yeah. Was Joker 1 nominated in sound?
A smarter Oscars pundit would have looked this up. I want to say yes.
Yeah, your instincts are correct after a seamless edit there. It was back in the days in which there were two sound categories, way back in the year of 2019, where Joker was nominated actually in both sound categories. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
We'll move on to Best Costumes. We both have Joker 2, Dune Part 2, Gladiator 2.
Makes sense.
And that's it. So then we have different fours and fives.
So what are your other two here?
Nosferatu. I think you're going to have a nice mix of Fifi costuming and the Count Orloff vampire costume there. I think Furiosa, I mean Mad Max, Fury Road, you're going to have a lot of those costumes. You're just going to have creativity in the costumes, but who knows? You might be right about these next two.
I feel like I was so light on Mad Max Furiosa in my predictions this year.
No, me too.
I mean, obviously, if it follows Mad Max 1, it's going to be a tech giant, so we'll see. I want to pound the table for costumes. I mean, we're finally getting the callback for Wolverine adorning the blue and yellow X-Men costume that we were all raised on that we have yet to see in any real-life superhero movie, and it looks like they get it exactly right, and we're definitely going to get a moment in which he puts on that legendary helmet as well at some point. They've gotten the Deadpool costume exceptionally well. I mean, I would love to see Deadpool and Wolverine get a costume nod, but I don't think it'll happen. What about Borderlands for a costume nod? I don't know. It's just something that I thought of, but I mean, it's not a video game franchise I'm familiar with, but it looks like they got the tenor right with all the costumes there.
I am annoyed about how much I love that stupid trailer for Borderlands, even though I know Eli Roth is yucky and I don't like to see his yucky movies. They gross me out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So that's costume design. We'll move on to production design, where we both have Gladiator 2, all of what seems to be practical effects, and Beetlejuice
yeah.
being done on real sets, and Dune Part 2. We knew how extraordinary Dune Part 2's look was. And then I have Blitz and Nosferatu, and you're not quite you're not going to take a stance. You didn't see the vapors. You couldn't see through the vapors of the mirror.
I wasn't given this information. Your, I will say, your insistence on Nosferatu and all these tech categories did play a part in rattling me later on in some of the major six categories.
Nosferatu, with that Christmas release date, makes me feel better about it. I think they think they have something there.
Yeah,
we'll move on to makeup and hairstyling, where Nosferatu, again, if they get Bill Skarsgård into the creepy Count Olaf getup and it works, that's the nomination right there.
Big win. Agree.
You know, they're painting clowns, so Joker Folie à Deux is getting nominated for makeup and hair. No? Beetlejuice, the last one was nominated. This one probably will be as well. Dune Part 2, so Furiosa. Again, there's a lot of incumbents, quote-unquote, or legacy picks in this particular category that I think are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I'm with you on all five of those. I think that might be our category.
In terms of cinematography now, we both have Blitz, which, you know, Steve McQueen, not going to be hard to...
war movie, yep.
Not going to be hard for him to get a good DP. I forget who's the DP there, but I probably should research the DPs, right? Anyway, Fraser and Dune Part 2, Joker Folie à Deux. I thought the Joker Folie à Deux trailer looked extraordinary. Pablo Larraín's cinematography is usually very strong. Maria. And then Parthenope, the Paolo Sorrentino film. The great beauty was stunning to look at. And, you know, The Hand of God. Another stunner. So, I mean, he had his crew really, really knows what they're doing. Again, I should have looked up the names of the DPs, but I think Clayton Davis picked one or two of them as well. So, in my five, I was similar to him, I think.
I liked you going off the beaten path there with both Maria and Parthenope. And I didn't know. So, I mean, Blitz, Dune Part 2, and Joker make a lot of sense. Again, a lot of legacy ties there that you can see coming to fruition again this year. But, yeah, I didn't know those last two.
All right, so those are our craft convictions. We'll move on to animated feature, which has become a regular category. We've finally gotten a beat on how to sense the future on animated features. So Clayton Davis has The Wild Robot winning, Inside Out 2, Lord of the Rings, The Magnificent Life of Marcel Pagnol.
I'm going to name my biography the same thing.
Ultraman Rising. Those are his five. Now, we share a couple of those. Do we both have Lord of the Rings? You don't have Lord of the Rings.
No, I don't have Lord of the Rings. I think I did this just to be obstinate against you because you were angering me about our Knicks discussions last night. So I'm like, screw this guy.
I'm not happy enough, but if I get too happy, you're mad at me.
That's right. You need to be on the exact plane that I deem necessary.
I don't know what you want me to be.
I don't either.
I don't understand what you want me to be.
I just like being a contrarian, I guess.
I was very nervous last night, and they won, and I was happy, but I was still just broken after the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Because I'm old now.
And you being that 40. Way... Cost you having Lord of the Rings in my five for animated feature. So there.
Okay, I understand now. Piece by Piece, did you have the?
No, I don't have this.
Pharrell. So this is an interesting project. Morgan Neville, documentarian, 20 Feet from Stardom. He won the Oscar for mm-hmm. that. Won't You Be My Neighbor was the famous Fred Rogers documentary that we covered couple years back that should have been nominated, but this Piece by Piece documentary is an autobiography where Pharrell Williams shows his imaginative and creative process using Legos as he constructs Lego models representing his artistic development. This is an entirely animated project that's going to be released in October wide. So Piece by Piece just feels like this is a unique animated feature. Kind of a documentary, kind of an animated feature. I could just see it being across.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's, I think thing. I remember hearing about this too. They might have reached out to some person who was just doing this on Instagram and just like tab them to help make this come true. I could be totally speaking out of turn there, but I think that's what my memory serves.
Plus, it's focus features, and they know what they're doing. Otherwise, Wallace and Gromit. I have to pick Wallace and Gromit.
I should have picked them, but I went with Escape from Hat instead, just to be. Because I don't think either one of us have ever had a prediction that's shown up in three straight years of 100% accurate. So I wanted to make a little history.
Did it come out yet, Escape from Hat?
Hell if I know.
You sure that didn't come out yet?
I'm not. I have no idea.
Was it even animated? Did somebody even draw these rabbits escaping from magicians' hats?
It's just a perfect movie title.
It is a good title. So yeah, okay, fine. You really went in deep for this category. We have the same. We have two of the same. So those three we do not share. We both do share Inside Out 2 from Pixar and The Wild Robot from DreamWorks, heading to theaters in September. Does that September release date worry you?
Not for animated feature as much as it does for other films that I kind of stayed away from.
Fair enough. So, all right, what do you have other than Escape from Hat as your... You have two films.
Yeah, Moana 2 I put in there, even though The Rock is kind of dealing with some bad press right now for the first time, really, in his career. We'll see if that has any sticking or staying power for his detriment.
So he's been a heel before as a wrestler or no?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely been a bad guy, but there was, you know, the rap came out with like how he was constantly late to set and all that, you know, cost $50 million for Red One, which David Alan Greer was on Instagram. And he was like, how late does this guy have to be to cost a production studio $50 million? He's like, there's no way that's true. So I don't know.
Right. That does sound a little ridiculous. Yeah. Don't they remember him, you know, donating like millions of dollars to the strikes?
He's been one of the most protected brands in the history of every industry he's been in. So he's really never dealt with like, boy, what a bad guy he is type of press and innuendo.
Right. Or type A. But I guess what I'm asking you is, do you think like his wrestling persona somehow enabled the criticism to start happening? Or do you think this is just he was overbooked and trying to do too much or what?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. I think, you know, he's been a little long in the tooth with wrestling fans, too, which is why this heel turn was kind of so badly needed from him. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a sentiment that people were getting sick of him showing up and just being smiley and the good guy all the time. So, I don't know. Maybe he's been rubbing people the wrong way. Maybe not. Maybe it's all misconstrued in a game of telephone. Who knows? But yeah, anyway.
But if he's singing and dancing, Moana 2 could still sell a shit ton of tickets and
certainly
be as good as the first.
I went with the imaginary just for my fifth slot there, just to have Netflix representation.
So that's an anime, and yet it's... I was looking at it and I was like, hell no. What made you pick the imaginary?
Literally, just to have Netflix representation in my five, that wasn't Escape from Hat.
Okay.
I mean, Netflix has been a player in this category recently.
Yeah, because Spellbound to me would have been the Netflix. That's the big money Netflix animated film this year.
Yeah.
But the Imaginary. Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Imaginary from Clayton Davis. That Christmas is another big Netflix film, it seems like.
And there have been Christmas representation in this category recently, from Netflix, no less. Couple years ago
I had Spellbound in there. That's the big DreamWorks, I think that's DreamWorks collab. Anyway, do you think Mufasa the Lion King...
I had it in my five originally, and I was like, I don't want this to happen.
Right. Meanwhile, Ultraman Rising, it looked like very kiddie or friendly.
Extremely kid friendly.
It looked like a very young kid
animated
film. So I didn't...
Same here. That's why I avoided it. What do you have winning?
All right. I'm going to say The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim. I'm going to stick with that. I just think it's going to be a big event movie, and I think, you know, anime has really worked on people. You have a really experienced anime director, from TV anyway, and if he hits it, it's going to be a monster. If he makes it work, it's going to be a monster, and it's a unique spin because it's an adult animation where it's going to be like, you know, Spider-Verse potentially. I don't know.
Will you dress up to go see it in theaters?
When's the last time I dressed up in anything other than t-shirts, sweatpants, sweatshirts, or shorts?
Yeah, I'm Gandalf. I'm Gandalf. I have Inside Out 2 winning. It's been 10 years. It will be at least 10 years since Inside Out's animated feature win of the 2015 show. I think that's a little poetic. And just as a little note for animated feature, since the category debuted, the longest Disney has gone without winning the category has been two consecutive years, which is currently going on and only happening for the third time in the category's history. 2001 and 2002, animated feature was introduced as a category. Shrek and Spirited Away won before Finding Nemo won for Disney Pixar in 2003. 2005 and 2006, it was the first Wallace and Gromit and Happy Feet winning before Pixar again bails out Disney with Ratatouille in 2007. And now we're in a streak of Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio and The Boy and the Heron as back-to-back winners. So if Lord of the Rings or if any non-Disney, non-Pixar property does win the animated feature category this year, it will be the longest stretch that Disney has gone without winning the animated feature Oscar.
Wow. So they're due, in yep. other words. All right. Spellbound is from the director of Shrek, though, the way where you started.
Oh,
that.
There you go.
So maybe Vicky
Jensen.
Makes
a lot of sense. Yeah.
Has a shot there, Spellbound. Yeah, that would be my, like, next omission. But, all right, supporting actor. We're going to hit all four acting categories today. We'll start with supporting actor. And, guys, go back to our spring Oscar bets episode with David Long. That was a fun start to our year in preview series where we went over the early betting odds for the big six categories, essentially, and we started out doing lead actor and actress, and then the next episode we did the supporting, so director, best picture. Kieran Culkin was the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, we could go through the names here. I think we're going to kind of hit on a bunch of these anyway as we explain ourselves, yeah. But we both have two, and then we have a different three. So the two we both have, and we talked about Samuel Jackson in The Piano Lesson, yep. Clarence Macklin in Sing Sing. Clarence Macklin is a reformed prisoner involved in the Sing Sing program who acted in the film about the program.
Right.
Which is this whole meta story where I think enough people have seen his work and praised his work for it to where, I mean, we're on notice for this guy's performance. There's no question about it.
And so what a narrative.
We both have the narrative imperative for him. And obviously the narrative imperative for Samuel Jackson is he's put in decades of great performances yep. in Hollywood. He is horribly overdue. And he's going to be in a showcase, essentially the play that he did so well on Broadway, adapted into a film opposite John David Washington, Daniel Deadwyler. I mean, that's going to be a powerhouse performance at the very least, no?
He's got to be a favorite in this category already, yeah.
I don't know how he wasn't to start. Like, it didn't make any sense to
crazy.
Me. Like, because Kieran Culkin, I've seen that performance at Sundance. It's very good. I've seen performances like that nominated in the past. I don't feel like there's... You have to nominate Kieran Culkin from A Real Pain.
Right.
In supporting actor. Like, I don't... I mean, I could see it happening, but I would guess he's in more tens than fives.
Maybe it was just the thing that Kieran... That the... A Real Pain was already out, and it was accessible to people, and people had seen it already, so it was just one of those things where the bookies were trying to lower the line enough to get people to sucker in.
It's offbeat and subtle, and you're right. I think they play on familiarity to get us to spend our money. We both have opposite actors from Conclave.
I do this every year, I feel like.
Selecting a new folk,
Stanley
yeah.
Tucci's who you have, and he's the guy who's listed higher in the odds, and it makes sense. But I always feel like I go with the one who I just want to see do better. Like, I want to see John Lithgow nominated.
Well, John Lithgow's put some great work up lately in terms of Emmy races. He was on The Crown. He was fantastic as Winston Churchill. And I could see it, totally see it. Stanley Tucci hasn't been featured in terms of an Oscars campaign since when? So I wonder if he's done a lot of good work in TV and film to where, and on travel shows to where maybe he's a fun name. But bottom line is, if he's being listed, they're what? They're covering their ass.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He's certainly a capable actor, and he can. I have worries about Conclave. Is like the movie I have my hopes most tied to this year, but I'm also very worried about it actually having Oscars legs.
So the next guy I want to talk about is Jeremy Strong of The Apprentice. He's playing Roy Cohn.
Yeah.
Now, you put him in your five,
yeah.
But somehow you Jedi mind tricked me into getting him out of my five because you've been so negative about The Apprentice's Oscars chances.
I don't think Sebastian Stan is going to be nominated, certainly. But no, when I said the other day, a couple weeks ago, when it was revealed to me that Jeremy Strong's going to be playing Roy Cohn, I mean, that is a juicy role. And I can totally see him, especially with his method approach to all his roles, just getting completely consumed by that.
And he's the devil on the shoulder
right.
The whole time. He's going to have the fascinating part there. Mm-hmm. All right, so who's the other name you have in your five? And
it's the name I'm least happy about of my five, or I'm least satisfied with.
I don't think this is coming out this year, Mike.
Yeah, that's part of the reason. I couldn't remember in picking if that was a true thing. I thought I remembered you saying that, but I went with it anyway. With Michael Shannon for The End, the musical about four people who cause the apocalypse and then are surviving it.
I think I read that it's coming out next January for A24. Now, I'm not sure, though. So The End was the Joshua Oppenheimer film with Tilda Swinton, Michael Shannon.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm least pleased with that.
All right, well, if you had to put somebody else involved, would you put Kieran Culkin?
Probably, but I also have a ton of questions about this category. Like, you have Willem Dafoe for Nosferatu in yours.
He is laughing so heartily in the burning tomb of the vampire in the stills. I just, like, if he's going full lighthouse maniacal brilliance again, how do you not nominate him this time and give him the award for that, or whatever, at least not nominate him?
I'm with you, but like, so the over-the-topness was good enough for him to be nominated for The Lighthouse, but the over-the-topness wasn't enough for him to be nominated for Poor Things.
He has an interesting relationship with this Academy. I just
And what is Nosferatu? Like, is Nosferatu going to be a talkie? It's going to be a talkie picture?
Is it silent or is it talkie? See? The talkies are big with the kiddies nowadays.
Is it just going to be the Jason Segel Dracula musical from Forgetting? I'm finding it hard to believe that things are going to get
it
better.
It looks like he's got the lamp, he's got his arm outstretched, and he's laughing to the gods, whoever might hear him, to the ceiling of the burning crypt. It could be a musical for all we know. Robert Eggers, right?
Right.
Wouldn't that be the funniest thing ever?
I mean, we never know what we're getting from him. I also have questions about, like, is there any chance Hugh Jackman gets the nod for the legacy pick of Wolverine because he holds the record for the longest contractually playing a superhero on screen? Even though he said it's going to be his last time for Wolverine and Deadpool.
I would be shocked.
I would too. I'd be surprised, but like, it's out there. And another question, what the hell is Kinds of Kindness?
I don't know. I'm very light on Kinds of Kindness everywhere. The June release date scares me a little bit. I think it's going to be fun. I think they're capitalizing on the marketing. I think the pundits, out of obligation and perhaps out of smarts, because Yorgos is a proven commodity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his you know, the anthology film. So is he just playing around in this one? I don't know. Is it just some weird little indie, or is it his Pulp Fiction? I don't. If it was his Pulp Fiction, it would have a. If they would release it in October nowadays, right? November?
Probably, but also, is this year light enough, or, you know, is this going to be a sparse enough awards year where something that's released in June has better legs, as long as it's really
right.
Well done?
And if it's just a good Yorgos movie, yeah. Why not? So you're right. You're right. Kinds of Kindness, I'm very light on it, but
I am too.
My other name here, and I'm torn between two big names from Gladiator 2. If Gladiator 2 is in fact an Oscars player, Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal they've got to show up somewhere. Like Denzel, if just put him in the Juman Hansu role of the original Gladiator, if he's like a mentor, or maybe it's not, maybe he's not in that role. Maybe he is, who is the owner of the Gladiators, the, oh my God, what a great part that was. I'm reading it. Oliver Reed. Oliver Reed's role was fantastic. So if this
was
is
he
like
the one
a,
that they had to finish with CGI because he passed away?
Yeah, if this is, well, that might have been Richard Harris, but
I can't remember.
Marcus Aurelius, the Caesar.
Might have been.
But
I can't
remember. If the Oliver Reed Proximo role is whatever Denzel, if Denzel is doing that quote unquote mentor hero role, or I mean the mentor, you know, the mentor hero role for Mezcal in the arena, certainly. Either one is going to be a delicious role for Denzel Washington. I don't know what role is he in. I mean, he could be anybody. He could be, I don't know. But I think Pedro Pascal, I've heard, is just chewing scenery like crazy. He's having too much fun riding rhinos and actually fighting Mezcal. So I don't know, like, but he could pull that one off. Maybe he's just so, he's such a force of nature, and he's at the top of his game, Pascal. So to me, one of the Gladiator 2 actors are going to contend in this supporting actor category. But names, we've seen years where just the names are there.
Right.
And big name actors with high profile performances could fill this category, in my opinion.
Gladiator 2, I'm very light on too, but you're right. If it's going to hit, it's going to hit big, I think.
Yeah. All right, so that's supporting actor. I think we both have the same winner, Samuel.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, yeah. So that's no surprise. We've been bullish on his upcoming performance there. Supporting actress. All right. Probably should just dive right in. We both have Saoirse Ronan of Blitz. We both have Danielle Deadwyler of The Piano Lesson.
Yep.
Anjanou Ellis-Taylor.
Yeah.
Of the Nickel Boys is our third supporting actress in common. Now, Danielle Deadwyler, if that's a juicy part, it's going to be a showcase as an adaptation. The Nickel Boys, I mean, if you read that plot premise, it's very heavy. It's it's an adaptation of a Colson Whitehead book, I want to say is his name, the novelist. And it's just about these schools that were just nightmares.
Horrible.
Back, yeah. And I think I think it's called Nickel Boys, actually. It comes from a director, a documentarian from Hale County This Morning, This Evening, which was very well done and very well received. So it's not just from some newbie director. It's from some director with at least one bona fide there, who got the cast, who got the project.
And we've
the
seen
Nickel Boys
Taylor.
Could
we've
be
seen
lying
her
in wait.
Already be, you know, steal scenes in Oscar movies. Anjanou
Ellis-Taylor. She's coming off Origin, where for Ava DuVernay was, I thought, as good as any performance last year. She was fantastic. So if she's at the top of her game. So we're betting on Anjanou Ellis-Taylor just being herself there. Now, I went back and forth with a couple different names. You have Leslie Manville of Luca Guadagnino's Queer.
Yeah.
You don't know. All right, are you going with Toni Collette?
So I went. I have Toni Collette for juror number two, but if juror number two doesn't come out, then I went with one of the triumvirate from His Three Daughters. And I originally had Carrie Coon in that singled out, and then I was like, well, let me do a little research. I read the review from the Hollywood Reporter of His Three Daughters since it came out in TIFF last year, and the Hollywood Reporter does nothing to differentiate who's the standout of that movie. It just speaks glowingly about all three of Carrie Coon, Natasha Lyonne, and Elizabeth Olsen. So I said, okay, one of them, if juror number two doesn't come out, one of them's getting nominated here.
I guess I would just lean towards maybe Clayton Knows, because Natasha Lyonne he put in the lead categories, and then Carrie Coon and Elizabeth Olsen he put in supporting. But I mean, obviously, nobody knows what these people are going to decide and if they're going to campaign for lead or supporting. I mean, necessarily. I mean, and even if they do know, that's their opinion right now. They may change their mind. So, all right. So, Ronan of Blitz, Deadwyler of Piano Lesson, Ellis-Taylor of The Nickel Boys. You have Toni Collette from Clint Eastwood's film, Juror Number Two, and Leslie Manville from Queer. Leslie Manville is just a, you know, you know she's great and everything. Right. Phantom Thread, of
pretty
course.
Much it. Yep. Big year for Guadagnino, and you're going with a different Luca movie representation. Except, oh, I'm sorry, you went. I saw Zendaya, and I figured it was going to be from Challengers, but no, you went with her Dune.
She's the lead in Challengers. Now, I think her doing well in Challengers could help her with, obviously, nothing. She doesn't need to be recognized because she's a star.
Right.
But Dune Part 2 is going to be nominated everywhere, and it's not going to get a single performance. Like, Javier Bardem is probably too memeified to get that. But if they do a little category fraud, I don't even think it is category fraud because she's not in enough screen time of Dune Part 2. She's good enough. I would nominate her in other years. I think she's fantastic. I think she's got a lot going on there. Does she have the big Oscar scene, Oscar reel scene? Does she need it, though, coming out of Dune? Like, I could just see that performance eventually coming back into the conversation. But okay. Is it that necessary? I don't know. I don't know. I think Zendaya should be involved in the conversation. Otherwise, I'm saying Isabella Rossellini of Conclave. That's just I'm hearing pundits pick her, and now I'm picking her.
I hope so. I was heartened to see you have that because you, I think, have more Conclave representation than I do, and I couldn't be higher on that movie right now.
If you think that's going to be like a chamber piece where, I mean, they're all stuck in the room debating and whatnot, and yeah, she could have a big performance there. Bakalova, Emma Stone. I mean, who are we missing that we didn't pick? Jennifer Grey of A Real Pain. They could show up.
There's a case Naomi to be made for Amy Adams. Clayton had her mentioned for Clara and the Sun.
Is Clara and the Sun coming out this year from Taika Waititi and Sony Pictures and Jenna Ortega? I don't know. No. That's my only question about that.
And I don't think either one of us have any representation on our cards from here. There are Robert Zemeckis, but there's big names attached to that, and it's late in the year, and it's, you know, like Oscar's legacy all over that with Robin Wright and Tom Hanks and Zemeckis himself, obviously.
Right. Yeah, we didn't go for it. Anyway, original screenplay. Move on to the screenplay categories, take a break from the acting. Original screenplay, in my opinion, is wide open. You have Blitz, and then it's wide open. We both have Blitz. Now, we both have Blitz, and
we have four of the five of the same. Five. Yeah.
That being said, Bird from Andrea Arnold, going to Cannes, we're going to know soon enough kind of where that movie stands.
If that heals the sick, then it has Oscar's legs. That's very the kind true, of reception from Cannes you need, right? Isn't it?
Does it have a distributor? That's what I have pause on some of these films because they don't have distributors. If they had distributors, if A24 was backing it with its full chest right now, I would feel better about Bird.
I mean, it could be that nobody has actually seen it. Or it hasn't been available for licensing until Cannes, you know? I mean, who knows?
You're right. I don't know the ins and outs of it. So, A Real Pain, obviously, that Searchlight mid-October release.
Right.
That makes some sense. That's a dramedy. It kind of works. They're doing a nice job with that script. Jesse Eisenberg's a name, and it's his second film where, as an auteur, we could see that credit being given to him.
Right.
His three daughters, Azazel Jacobs, is the writer-director.
Again, people were speaking so highly about that when it came out last year at TIFF. I do have hesitation about that because it's been so long gestating and so long in the public zeitgeist already. But I mean, if you read anything about it, it's just nobody has a bad word to say about it.
French Exit was a fun watch.
So good. We enjoyed, so overlooked.
We enjoyed French Exit with Michelle Pfeiffer.
With a complete nonsense scene in it, by the way, and it didn't take away from the enjoyability of the movie.
Challengers is going to be my fifth spot right now, probably for lack of an alternative in a way.
Yeah.
You have Hard Truths.
So here's what happened, Mike.
Yeah, from Mike Lee. Now
you pick things that you enjoy. I picked, I'm very high on Hard Truths, which is a movie I have less than zero interest in seeing. Just because of the history of Mike Lee in general.
Yeah. Mike Lee and I, we love and we hate each other. It's a, and I think you're the same way.
I think I've tried to watch two Mike Lee movies and just fell asleep in both of them.
Right.
I just can't, but I just have a, I don't, it's just gut feeling. I have Hard Truths showing up a lot in my predictions.
Bleecker Street, though. When's the last Bleecker Street movie that was nominated?
They've been around.
I like them.
Me too.
I genuinely like Bleecker Street movies. When I see a Bleecker Street release, I'm like, hey, you know what? I know I'm going to get...
Because it's usually like an issue thing, isn't it?
I'm going to get kind of a crowd pleaser. I'm going to get a movie that hits me on a wavelength that I enjoy.
Sasquatch Sunset.
IFC. Yeah, I mean, even Sasquatch Sunset, I knew I was going to get some kind of... It was going to have pleasing factors because that's what they... That's their brand. I mean, they don't really do the parade of sadness. So this category otherwise has Kinds of Kindness, potentially. That's probably the other obvious pundit pick right now. Dee Dee, the Sundance movie that I like from Sean Wang.
I had Dee Dee and I took it out at the last second.
Flint Strong. If Flint Strong was not renamed After the Cheetos movie,
it's so funny.
Original song, yeah, "The Fire Inside."
That's exactly why I stayed away from it too. That rubbed me such the wrong way. I'm like, screw it.
And do we really think Megalopolis is going to show up anywhere? We can't. I know I said I would be. I would want to pick it somewhere.
Can't in good conscience pick it.
No, I can't. Not after the last, set of reviews. You can't find any distributor.
When you have insiders saying that it may not be fit for any audience, it's tough. It's a tough sell as an Oscars movie.
All right, we'll move on to adapted screenplay. Now, this one's loaded. Like, you can go a lot of different directions with adapted screenplay. I think we both have a few in common. We have Conclave. We have the Nickel Boys, correct?
Yep.
So those are the two in common we have. I have Dune Part 2. Like, that was a book that I did not enjoy.
I was going to put Dune Part 2, and then I put The Bike Riders in its place. And my reasoning because fuck you was my reasoning that I wrote down.
You're a Steve Martin with his pants around his ankles.
So I have The Bike Riders in the Dune Part 2 slot for me.
I hope you enjoy your bike. Here I'm going up and down. This is something else. This is what an episode this is. This is equal parts. But don't you think the spike clouds your judgment?
What kind of question is that? I'm never right on these things.
You knowingly. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the Nickel Boys, Colson Whitehead, and yeah, that seems like a big adaptation. Amazon, MGM. Could be a big deal. Conclave, we know, is going to be a big deal from Focus Features. Edward Berger, again, big adaptation there. Dune Part 2, I have You Don't. You have the Piano Lesson and Sing Sing.
Yeah, I was surprised to see you didn't have Sing Sing.
So Sing Sing, I think that's going to be a performance piece. But maybe you're right. Maybe it can break in here. But this is a hard category to break in because you have major novels or perhaps audacious novels getting adaptation. But I didn't go any play adaptations. Like Long Day's Journey into Night, The Piano Lesson, like you could just take the play and film it.
Okay, get to the headline. Get to the headline of your, like you have Emmanuel as well. That's your fourth. So you have Dune Part 2, Conclave, The Nickel Boys, and Emmanuel.
Emmanuel is going to be an erotic novel. Now, that after Poor Things, that's also a ballsy pick, I think.
Yes, but not nearly as ballsy as your fifth.
Night Bitch. Night Bitch, bitch.
Go ahead. Sell me on it. How's Night Bitch going to get nominated in multiple categories?
I have faith in Mariel Heller, and my antennae are up because they moved it to October, and they moved it off of Hulu, and I think Searchlight has confidence in it. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if this is, and I think people are tired of the same old shit. That's why
sure.
Emmanuel is going to be cool. That's why Night Bitch could be the cool pick for the, by this younger academy. And, you know, maybe I'm not going to get the million other predictions correct, like in later categories. But Amy Adams and screenplay for Marielle Heller, who's been nominated there already.
I will say I was very close to putting Amy Adams for Night Bitch in the acting actress category. But the only hesitation I have is, if she's expected to be nominated in a more serious movie already, like Clara and the Sun, if it does come out this year, is there going to be enough time for everyone to pivot to appreciating how good she is in Night Bitch?
What is Clara and the Sun, though? Clara and the Sun
sure.
seems like George Clooney in Tomorrowland for me. Like, I don't know what that is.
Sure.
Like, what
it's
is
fair
that?
Fair point. It's a fair point. I get it.
Or it could be great. I don't know.
Right,
I don't know
right,
what it
right.
is. It's like a robot.
But
friend.
I would say of the two, you would think that right now the punditry is probably more fixated on Clara and the Sun over something called Night Bitch. Even though Marielle Heller's yeah. attachment certainly helps.
Anyway, Clayton thinks like you, Sing Sing and the Piano Lesson. He also is the Wild Robot. He must be hearing great things about DreamWorks Animation. He has it in Best Picture as well.
I am excited to see it, but I am so nervous about it. After that trailer.
If they pull off Joe, is there a world where Joker 2 Folie à Deux gets nominated in original screenplay or adapted screenplay?
Well, that's the look. Joker 2, I have the same issue with Dune 2. It's like, how are these movies going to outdo their originals?
But does it have to outdo its original in terms of the Oscar nominations? Like, does it to get nominated in screenplay? Like, if it gets 6 nominations, is that a success for Joker Folie à Deux?
Probably.
Is that enough for Lady Gaga to win?
Well, I'm giving away the farm there, because I think Lady Gaga is going to win. I have her as my winner.
Wow.
So,
did we pick an original screenplay winner?
Nope, sure didn't.
Whoops.
Let's go back and do that right now.
I'm going to pick Blitz.
I like that's the one I was looking at as well. I will join you there.
Okay.
Although, when's the last time a war movie won one original screenplay?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. Well, I remember the Hurt Locker winning.
Oh, nine.
Dawned on me.
Yeah. All right.
Mark Boll, right? Okay, so Blitz is our winner. Because that's the only surefire nominee, probably.
Right.
That's why we're picking it.
Right.
So we don't see... We don't see...
Second time I'm getting sucked into a Steve McQueen movie before I've seen it.
But this is his big war epic, though. The Blitz of London. Oh, my God.
Hey, man.
Anyway.
I know. What do you have for your adapted winner?
I am tempted to go in a couple different directions here. I'm going to pick Dune Part 2.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I think that was an extraordinary work of screenwriting. Can't believe they pulled off the story the way they did in there. Did a beautiful job. That I just know it's a good adaptation. I haven't read or seen the other films, obviously. There, I've read the book. I've seen the movie. I could see that winning in any year. Does that make you worried that you didn't pick it?
A little bit. I have such a grudge against that movie because I am convinced, I have totally convinced myself that it's a disappointment if Dune 1 played the box office.
Uh-huh.
People are seeing Dune 2 as a letdown if Dune 1 was allowed a full theatrical run. But because it wasn't, because it was released during COVID on Max.
It's profitable though, Mike. I mean, it's a profitable movie.
Yeah, but how much would Dune 1 have made in the box office?
I don't know, man.
$1.1 billion?
I don't know that much.
So, do you think it's a billion-dollar movie? I do, the way it was coming out of the film festivals. And
if you apply the hype train.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a billion-dollar. And this one's not going to, is it going to hit 800?
So you're actually a romantic at heart. You believe in love.
I believe in life after love. I could feel something inside of me. I really don't think it's strong enough. I'm gonna pick Conclave and hope.
Okay. No, it's fair. It's fair. That's one of the safer picks. All right, we'll move on to director. We'll see if we pick safely here. Steve McQueen, we're both going with Steve McQueen. We're both going with Denis Villeneuve. Other than that, we have three different picks here. Who do you got?
I went with Luca for Queer.
If he had a distributor,
yeah,
I would feel better about that. And if it wasn't Burroughs adaptation, which could be anything. I just saw the Naked Lunch movie and I was like, this is David Lynch if David Lynch fucking lost his
mind. I also went with a no distributor in Bird, Andrea Arnold,
yeah,
for director.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about it. I definitely was swayed by Clayton, who has her within his five.
Yeah, it could be. She does a really nice job with the Fish Tank when I'm growing up, you know, when I'm coming up, right? I'll never say that again, but I liked Fish Tank as a film.
And then I went with Mike Lee for Hard Truths as my fifth.
Man, you're just a...
I'm in.
You're not...
I'm in.
You're in?
Not the last time you're going to be here, and I have no desire to see that movie.
Denis Villeneuve, Steve McQueen... Then you have Luca, Arnold, Lee.
Yes.
Now I have Ridley Scott for Gladiator 2.
Which makes, if it hits, it's going to hit. Yeah, I agree.
It's going to hit, and it's going to be a parade for Ridley Scott.
No doubt.
Now, if Todd Phillips got nominated last time, and if this one's nominated in many categories, I would think Todd Phillips is going to get nominated, but I did not pick him.
Same.
I know, whatever. I didn't see it through the mirror. George Miller, I didn't see it. I'm sorry. Edward Berger, I didn't see it. It's probably a talky film, right? I mean, it's a chamber piece conclave, right? Is that going to get a Best Director necessarily? Audrey Duan Emmanuel, that's a big adaptation from Neon. She directed the hell out of Happening. L'Evermont. Happening, she directed the hell out of it. So Emmanuel, she's getting a bigger canvas. I think she could direct the hell out of that. I just think she's a terrific director. Marielle Heller, I think she's a terrific writer-director. Night Bitch could be nutso, could be awesome. If it hits, it could really hit. And I just, you know, I don't think it's going to be a sausage fest again, too.
I had a hard time with that. I had a really hard time with that, I won't lie. And it's the same industry. It's the same systemic issue we talk about all the time on this. I can't believe we've been doing this show for as long as we have, and there's been so little progress. I mean, there's been progress made, but it's not enough. I mean, it's all, like we talk about all the time. Good job. What the hell's right. taking so long?
Well, I mean, if we're taking the safe picks, we're like Yorgos and,
yep.
and Phillips and.
But even the new directors, Sorrentino. Right? Like, even if we wanted to like go edgy, like, what are we going to pick? The Piano Lesson. Who's a legacy, you know, it's a Washington kid.
It's his debut. It's
right.
his debut.
That's what I mean. Like, it's another man who's in the industry. Like, you know, it's not nothing Could against be. Him, I, obviously, but like.
It might happen.
Right.
I don't know. I think Edward Berger, you know, I mean, he could get acknowledged if Conclave
Keeping
works.
Berger out of director is why I picked Conclave for adapted screenplay, by the way. I think it's going to, I could see it being one of those, you know, he deserves to be in director, but there's just not enough slots, so let's give him
the. Does that usually happen, though? I don't think that usually happens. Usually it goes the other way.
You're right.
But then again,
you're
you
right.
might
no,
be
you're
right.
right.
I mean,
you're right. It does. It
no,
does.
No, no. No, no. Because you're right. It could go that way. Because Women Talking.
Did Women Talking win?
Women Talking won screenplay.
I did win screenplay.
Call
right.
Me
yeah,
By Your
right.
Name
you're right.
won
you're right. You're right. You're
screenplay.
Right. Right. Yeah, I was thinking of the more obvious. I was thinking of Jordan Peele and...
Sarah Polley.
Yeah.
Sarah Polley won screenplay.
Yeah, you're right. See, I am smart. Sometimes. Smart
right.
by accident.
Best director, Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right? Despite
or McQueen,
my
again,
despite
or Ridley
my
Ridley Scott again,
Ridley Scott. Can he put one through? Like, can he put one through the basket? Can he see one go in first?
He's been struggling.
Getting tired of being hyped over Ridley Scott
movies. He gets the action. he gets the action right. But here's the thing. Audrey Duan, Mariel Heller, Luca, even Mike Lee, they get... Well, Mike Lee is the legacy.
Right.
I could see him winning. But Luca and Arnold and Duan and Heller, the nominations is probably the as far as it goes, and typically speaking, right? But then again, you know, the Daniels. If the movie hits, the movie hits.
It's going to be a breakthrough. But it's going to be a breakthrough in multiple categories for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me Denis. I'll take Denis as well. Just as an apology for not being nominated the first time around, which was ridiculous.
I mean, just the Spielberg gush fest alone.
Yeah.
It's certainly looking that way. I think that'll hold unless something else happens. But, okay, we'll move back to the other two acting categories. Move into lead actress. So we both have Gaga.
Yeah.
We both have Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
And I don't know who wrote it down first. I'm mad that I'm reading this right now. We both have Lupita Nyong'o.
You wrote it first.
Of A Quiet Place.
You wrote it first.
One. Okay, I did.
Yep.
All right. So, but she is extraordinary in that trailer, is she not? She was snubbed
at some point. Yeah, I mean, at some point, if she keeps doing the horror thing to the level she does it, I don't give a shit how scary the movie is and how resistant to horror Academy members are, and they don't want to sit through horror movies. She has to just get nominated because she's there.
She was
like the word of mouth from her performances has to carry her through at some point.
A Quiet Place, the first film, did well. With awards. I mean, the second film, not as much, but it's a well-respected sequel.
Yep.
And this thing is going to be huge. A Quiet Place Day One is going to be huge.
Yep. Agreed.
Now, again, there's a stigma on sequels to an extent sometimes, and there's a stigma on horror. This is an uphill battle, but I think we both see the level of performance in that trailer. And
she's not new.
It's next level.
I mean, she's an Oscar winner, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's
but
not.
But she deserves to be nominated in the bigger category.
Yeah. No, I totally stole that from you. I will admit that. I saw that. I was like, yep, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense.
Now, we both have, the other two actresses are different names. So I have Amy Adams from Night Bitch. I have Angelina Jolie from Maria. Those are, I'm not going out on a limb.
I
there,
should have Angelina Jolie. That's a really smart pick. And I told myself I was going to do that.
You made some good picks here.
Forgot. I might switch that at the last second here and steal that from you again. I went with Marion Jean Baptiste from Hard Truths. Another one. Just industry.
She's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, industry veteran, and I'm just high on that movie for Oscar's sake.
She's a great actress. She is. She's fantastic.
I went with Lily Rose Depp from Nosferatu. I mean, this may be category fraud. I could see her running as a supporting as well. But, like, if she's going to do the role from the original Nosferatu, they're going to have to give that role a lot more juice and, like, modernize it to not walk away from that movie saying, like, she was just an also-ran character.
But here's the thing. I don't think she's in the role you think she's in. She's not. I think she's supporting. I think Emma Corrin is in the role.
Okay. Maybe I have that backwards. Then Emma Corrin would be my pick.
So Emma Corrin played Princess Diana, young Princess Diana in The Crown. She's very good. She's been in a couple different television series. I don't know if she's been in a lot of movies yet. She was in
Chatterley's Lover. I think Rose Depp was listed first on the wiki page, is why I went with her. But yeah, whoever's playing that, you know, the original role from the original Nosferatu, the 22 film.
Times the names are a little hazy when you look into crystal.
That's ball. Right. You don't always know.
Because I almost picked Emma Corrin. I almost did. From Nosferatu.
From Nosferatu. So you were thinking the same thing. Yeah.
So you're going to go Emma Corrin.
Yeah, I'll go Emma Corrin. I'll rewrite that.
So Emma Corrin and Marianne Jean Baptiste, we both have Gaga, Lang, and Lupita. Who's winning? Is Lady Gaga winning?
I pick Gaga. I mean, look, like I said, that movie is weird. But if you're going to do a musical, you're doing it because Lady Gaga has agreed to do your movie. So I think it's just an Oscars vehicle for her.
Yeah. I got no better. I have no clearer premonition myself. Yeah. I feel like Lady Gaga is in the driver's seat, but she's been in the driver's seat before.
It's true. Who's your second?
House of Gucci. Ah. What are you doing to me?
Well, I'm curious because
making me power.
I want to put Angelina Jolie in my five.
Well, that's part of the problem. Yeah. I don't have a second. That's part of the problem. I don't know, because like Lupita would be lucky to get in
yep.
for a horror movie. Amy Adams would probably be lucky to get in for Night Bitch.
I agree.
In this case, even though she is overdue. Jessica Lange has won three times before. Angelina Jolie has won before.
Yeah.
For my five.
Yeah, no, good points.
I had,
that'd be tough.
I had Noemi Merlant as a alternate. I had Florence Pugh from... but I'm not sure that that movie's coming out for A24. We live in time.
Yeah, best picture for 1997.
Saoirse Ronan's Sundance film got a lot of praise, The Outrun, but is she getting in here? Zendaya's really good in Challengers. I don't know. Jodie Comer, stop it, Clayton. I'm sorry.
I might have convinced Clayton on the Bike Riders because he was tweeting us a lot fall about my love for the Bike Riders and my conviction that it's an Oscars film.
The latest trailers are just simply hilarious.
Do we agree that when that becomes an Oscars favorite, I get to take credit for it?
Fine. Good for you.
Fine.
You can have it.
Thank you.
So Lady Gaga's winning lead actress
yes.
then.
Yes.
All right. Lead actor. We have... So I went back and forth on Daniel Craig. We both have him.
Yep.
I'm going to leave him in there for Queer from Luca Guadagnino.
I think we have four of the five. The same.
Coleman Domingo of Sing Sing.
Yep.
Ralph Fiennes of Conclave.
Yep.
And Ed Harris of Long Day's Journey and Tonight.
Yeah.
So you went, you're heavy on Bird.
Yeah, so I had to.
Barry Kay.
It feels like his movie, right? And if it's going to be an Oscars movie, it's probably going to be on the backs of the screenwriting and his performance.
Right. Makes sense for sure. Now, neither one of us went with Joaquin Phoenix from Joker 2. Neither one of us went with Paul Mescal from Gladiator 2. Neither one of us went with Jesse Plemons of Kinds of Kindness. All of these guys have been knocking on the Oscars door. Adam Driver of Megalopolis. Austin Butler of The Bike Riders. Neither one of us.
Who's your fifth? Who'd you pick?
I ultimately went with John David Washington of The Piano Lesson. I am also rooting for John David Washington to be nominated in lead and his father to be nominated in supporting.
That'd be awesome. And his other son being nominated in director, maybe? That'd be something.
Be nominated somewhere. Yeah, could you imagine that? Like,
that'd be crazy.
The Washington family nominated three separate people nominated at the Oscars.
And if that happened, how much momentum would that give Denzel to win after the Manchester by the Sea snub arguing that he got for Fences last time? You know what I mean?
Oh. That would
he'd have
that
all would kinds of like for, come on, you have to vote for Denzel's kids are
yeah
there.
But he's a producer, but here how hard is he campaigning? He's a producer on The Piano Lesson. Samuel Jackson's never won before. How hard is he campaigning against Samuel Jackson in that category?
Oh, good point.
That's a question.
Good point. That'd be fun.
But
that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. Barry Keoghan probably my alternate, but yeah, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, how do we... Neither one of us... I'm surprised.
It's tough. I mean, I didn't pick him because, again, like, I just think on sequels you have to outdo it. If your first movie was Oscar nominated, the second one doesn't get to those levels unless it's, like, on par with that or exceeds it, I feel like.
Okay.
So it's like we've been here before already, and you won for it. So we're going to take a lesser performance, if that's what it is, and nominate you again?
I don't know.
Could happen, obviously.
Who's your winner in lead actor?
I struggled with this.
Yeah.
I
have one.
Go ahead. You go first.
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say Ralph Fiennes.
God damn you. So I was going to say, I'm going to pick Ralph Fiennes, I guess, just because of my conviction in Conclave, but... I can see Craig and I can see Ed Harris, certainly.
I can see Domingo. Might just be undeniable. But, yeah, I think Ed Harris could be in supporting for all we know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know the play well enough, and obviously. Maybe he is a supporting actor. Maybe it's category fraud.
All right, I'll join you with Ralph Fiennes, the most underrated actor in the history of Hollywood.
Very good. All right, we're finishing up here. We'll move on to Best Picture. We can kind of, you know, rip them off.
I think we have eight of the same.
Seven in common? Oh, eight.
I think we have eight of the same, yeah.
Blitz in alphabetical order, not power ranked.
Yep.
Blitz, Conclave, Dune Part 2.
Yep.
And I'm gonna skip over my unique ones. Gladiator 2, Joker 2, Joker Folie à Deux, Nosferatu, The Piano Lesson, and Sing Sing are our eight films in common. Then we saw some murky corners of the mirror.
let me just say before we get into the differences, like, I didn't have Gladiator 2 much at all, and I'm hedging my bets with it. That's why I put it in my best picture.
That's a hedge.
It's a total hedge by
me. That's probably smart. I should have hedged with Bird or with Kinds of Kindness or Civil War, and I didn't do any of that. I picked Emmanuel again from Audrey Dewan, and I picked Night Bitch again from Mariel Heller. I think if they go, they go. But I'm not sure.
I love how invested in Night Bitch you are. You know, if that breaks through, you deserve all the credit in the world, because I was going to pick Amy Adams, but I certainly was not going to pick Night Bitch in as many categories as you settled on.
A smarter guy would have read the book, or at least the synopsis, or at least a page.
No, I love it. I love the conviction of it. This is why we are who we are.
Well, whatever. That's what I saw. So, I think the people will understand why you picked your two. So who do you got?
I went with the Nickel Boys, which I think if that same reasoning, if that hits, that's just such an easy story to see having Oscars legs. And it's carried important. By one of the best performances of the year. If that's what Anjanue Ellis-Taylor does, like, it just makes a lot of sense to me.
Could be.
And I also was obstinate in my conviction and my ride or die-ness for Mike Lee and Hard Truths. A movie I do not want to see. A movie I hope isn't as well represented in the Oscars as I have foreseen it to be. But here we are.
I think I like his modern day settings. I like a Mike Lee movie that is just in the now. I don't like his period pieces. I don't know what Hard Truths is. I think it's a modern day.
I think it looks modern day. Yeah, it looks modern day from what I've seen. Who's winning, Mike?
Oh, God, who's winning? We have to pick a winner here?
We have to.
We can't just, like...
We're not 98% accurate at this point.
Dune Part 2 is the favorite in Vegas.
No chance.
Was it not?
No chance.
I do not think Dune Part 2 is winning. They're making a Part 3.
I think that's so stupid for him to come out and say that, by the way. Because if this was the last Dune that we're all under the impression of, like, if we think this is it, I think it has a much better chance and much bigger legs.
Yeah, but does it make more money if they know they're making a third? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Good question.
If you know it's the middle of a third, a middle of a trilogy.
Are you more likely to go see it, yeah.
In theaters.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so, man, I really don't know. I mean, the safe pick is Blitz.
Yep, it is.
That's probably where I land right now, but I don't feel good about it. It's the only pick.
I mean, doing this show for as long as we have has really, like, made us a hive mind. Because I have the same thought. For the sake of being different, I've picked it multiple categories, so I might as well just go full bore with it. I'll pick Conclave.
Oh, really? Yeah. You never know.
I think it needs a Herculean effort to actually win Best Picture for the religious movie and the...
Well, look at this field. You have big budget action epic Blitz. You have big budget action epic Dune Part 2. Big budget action epic Gladiator 2. Big budget epic, I don't know if it's an action epic, but musical epic, Joker 2. Big budget horror epic, Nosferatu. That's five big budget films vying for the Academy's recognition. Maybe they cross their vote share.
They want
and
to
maybe
talk.
This is a perfect year. This is the perfect year for just some parable on the world. You know, the two popes to just come in there and just cut to the core of this.
I like the case you make. You make me feel better. What was the movie that was the most difficult omission for you amongst your 10?
I wanted to put Civil War in here because I liked it so much.
Okay.
And I think it's worthy. but I had to hold back because I don't necessarily believe that an apolitical film is going to make the Academy pick it. I think it might show up somewhere, like sound design, maybe even screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt it's going to show up in all the big categories. But maybe I'm just keeping my hopes low for Civil War, because I am a big fan. That's I cool. want to see it again.
That's cool. I didn't expect that.
Beetlejuice also could be the biggest movie of the year.
Wouldn't that be fun?
If Barbie, if nobody yeah. at this time last year thought Barbie was going to be nominated.
Barbie has totally opened doors for anything.
Like, then again, I rewatched the first Beetlejuice. There's no world. Like, if they just remade Beetlejuice.
Nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
It's not getting nominated for Best Picture, is it?
Well, I don't know. How many times can Michael Keaton grab his crotch with a horn honking sound? Because that'd be enough for me.
But I've been saying for a while, even though there's some big movies out this year, I do feel like a film festival darling could just take it.
It's
like, what's the Nomadland? What's the
my biggest complaint to you with doing the 100% accurate getting this show ready today was that, like, man, I just feel like I'm so basic. Like, I feel like this year is so, like, you know, we're off a heater from 2023. That was an all-timer of a film year for Oscars purposes and box office. And I don't see that juice this year in either box office or, memification, blockbusters, and certainly awards. I just don't see it yet. Maybe it'll surprise me. Maybe it'll be there.
That being said, Michael, we've had a good year so far.
Yeah, we have.
Some of these movies are really well-received and considered contenders. We got big tent poles to come. And there's still a full film festival slate where we could get the mid-budgets, where we can get the indie darlings. So I don't necessarily know if at the end of the year we're looking at this year as a bad Oscars year, per se, if there is such a thing. Like, I understand that the field right now seems a little worrisome after Oppenheimer, Barbie. Because, you know, we had two huge contenders, bona fide studs. Last year.
And anything's going to feel like kind of a going into a letdown after that kind of height.
And even the year before, Everything Everywhere All at Once was like, oh my God, this is definitely going to get nominated in 8 categories. It won all the mid-year awards. And we, you know.
At some point you are going to regress back to the mean, you know? Like, you're not going to have.
Right.
We're off 2 years in a row now where we've had two of the best performing films in Oscars history, arguably.
Right.
So. That doesn't happen every year. You know what I mean?
That doesn't happen every year. Good point.
Yeah. So.
All right. But do you feel like you could have went a little cooler if you picked Night Bitch more?
I want Night Bitch to do as well as you have it, because I want to be able to tout that we were certainly the only podcast that had someone predicting it to do that well.
I'm going to look foolish.
I will give you all the credit in the world. You won't have to tweet a thing about your... Because I'll be doing it to rub it in everyone's faces.
Overdue star.
Yeah.
For Oscars.
Yeah.
Great writer-director. Movie that got moved into a marquee spot by a awards magnet studio. I don't know. Just... I'm trying to be different. Yeah, I'm trying to...
I like it.
Trying to go for broke.
But
I'm gambling a little bit here.
Instead, I'll be right and we'll both be miserable as Hard Truths ends up winning 10 fucking awards.
Bleecker Street.
And we actively boo the television.
Truthfully, that would be something else, because then we'd have A24, Neon, and now Bleecker Street as these boutique companies that are just on the rise.
You are really, like, your glass half fullness today is really... something else. You're making great optimistic pitches.
Well, my team did win.
No, did they? I didn't notice.
I'm not in a bad mood, even though you confuse me with what you
I do my best to put you there. I hope the Bike Riders wins everything. Anyway, dear listener, as always.
Me too. Look, it would be the best thing possible for our podcast if the Bike Riders won 12 Oscars. So go, Bike Riders.
Da, Bike Riders. As always, dear listener, what matters most to us are your thoughts about this episode. Obviously, what are your 100% accurate, way too early Oscars predictions? What do you think of anything we said here in this episode? And as always, you can leave your thoughts, comments, questions, and concerns about anything we do here in the MMO Empire on our social media, as we are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook and Instagram, at MM and Oscar on Twitter, or X Mike, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com, and on Reddit. We are available wherever you do hear podcasts. And if you're listening to us on either the Apple Podcasts or Spotify app, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review, if you appreciate what we do, those help us out a ton. Thank you to everyone who has done so thus far. Michael, tell the good people what's coming next from us, and let's have some words of wisdom to end on.
Well, it's wise to never back check our work, because you should trust us by now. Yeah. It's just, you're just wasting your
Would we lie to you? Wasting your hours. Honestly.
Why would you do such a thing and just... Like, the feeling of being proven wrong, it's just, you don't want to feel that way. Right. Just let it go. Right. Just believe us. You don't want us
to embarrass you by you checking our work and us being right anyway.
So it is wise to not check our work. It is also wise to not compare these predictions to what we say later on in the year, and then compare the percentages, like, because if our predictions vastly change, but it's not by 25, but like our next episode where we predict these things is probably 75% accurate predictions, right? But don't compare, you know, don't do that math either.
It's no,
just, again,
no.
You're wasting.
Yeah, just take our word for it. We would never lead you astray.
That's right. Has this shtick going on? So, like, we stretch the rubber band to the point where it's broken and it's schmapped our heimies. All right. We have
schmapped our heimies.
I'm surrounded by people with babies. And they say weird things to their kids. I don't know.
Don't put that on them.
People with dogs.
How many people with babies talk about schmapping their heinies around you?
More than one. I'll move on to finally this outro of what's next. We have an Oscar race checkpoint coming up next. I'm going to see The Fall Guy. You know, you've been watching some movies, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you were going to come out of your cave at some point, Mr. Bear.
Always hibernate for get like out of a your, month.
You do. You always do, and you need the rest. Yeah. You need the rest. But the movies are coming out. They're good. They're watchable, and you got some horror films that you've been watching. Yeah. So
I'm going to start Dune 2 at some point, reluctantly against my will.
But here's the thing: do we do a film study on Dune 2?
I don't know. It depends on.
Do we
how
go
I
back
it.
With it?
If I can.
That depends. That's okay. Fair enough. All right. So, but we're gonna do like a big box office special. I think that's in order. We're going to do it with a guest, so we're going to have some fun with that, too. So that's what we're talking about. Mike, and Alien is coming.
Yeah, I am excited for that.
I think we're prioritizing artwork and then Mike, and Alien.
Yeah, I got to find a logo, so an artist.
Yeah, if you're an artist that draws beautiful logos, and if you could do it in our aesthetic, it'd be even better, right?
I mean, we're willing to pay the commission.
We'll pay. Mm. Some money. We don't have lot of money. Lots of money. We have some. We'll pay.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Guys, when reality sucks, you can be 100% accurate with us, I guess, right? Makes sense.
What do you mean, you guess?
We are Mike, and Oscar trying to make a word season year out without the stuff in us. We will see you all very soon.
See ya.